In this episode of Movie Wild Eyes, we review Matthew McConaughey's new movie, Killer Joe. It's time for Movie Wild Eyes. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wild Eyes is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hi. Happy Saturday morning.
Absolutely. This one was a long time in coming.
Yes.
This week was, I don't know, I had a hell of a week anyway. I was in Phoenix on Thursday and it wasn't hot there.
It's hot here. It's boiling in San Diego.
It's most unusual. And to Joe's credit, good movie wala that he is, he came back from Phoenix and attended a screening.
Of course.
In fact,
it was this screening, yeah. Killer Joe. Well, I'd heard so much about this one, I was really excited to see it. So I couldn't miss it just because I'd been traveling for work that day.
I'm so excited to talk about this one. So can we jump into the review?
Sure. Who's going to kick off the intro?
Me.
Okey-doke.
Okay, so when 22-year-old drug dealer Chris has his stash of drugs stolen from him by his mother, he has to come up with $6,000 quick or he's going to be dead. Desperate, he goes to the trailer park to see his father, Ansel, and he lays out the plan. Chris's mother, who everyone hates, has a life insurance policy that would clear up his debt and make them all rich. The problem is that Chris's mother is very much alive. Enter Detective Killer Joe Cooper, a hired hitman with the manners of a southern gentleman who will do the job for an upfront fee that Chris and Ansel can't pay. Just as Joe is about to leave, he spots Dottie, Chris's innocent younger sister. Joe makes Chris an offer he'll keep Dottie as sexual collateral until the money is collected and the fee can be paid. So this is directed by William Friedkin and stars Matthew McConaughey, Emil Hirsch, Juno Temple, Thomas Hayden Church, and Gina Gershon, amongst others.
William Friedkin of Exorcist fame, no less.
Yep.
Have you seen The Exorcist, Yazdi?
Oh, yes.
I've not seen it. It's one of those movies that had such a reputation in the 80s that I was too afraid to watch it. And since then, I think they re-released it a few years ago as kind of an Exorcist director's cut or something like that. And I missed that then because its reputation was so strong that I've just never been brave enough.
I'm too scared. I don't like horror, so Yazdi, I'm shocked that you saw it.
But the director has quite a reputation because of it.
He does. I mean, this is his fourth decade in the business, or it might even be his fifth decade. I mean, he's made all kinds of films. He's made The Unimprovable, The French Connection with Gene Hackman. It's a classic up there. He's done Cruising. He's done a movie very recently called Bug. Yeah, he's been around the block a few times.
Yeah, and thanks for reminding me, Yazdi. I should say that this is written by this film is actually based on the screenplay that's written by the play that's written by Tracy Letts, and Friedkin actually collaborated with Tracy Letts on the film Bug. So thanks for that. Okay, so let's kick this off because I'm so excited to see what you both think, because the look on Joe's face when we left the theater was frozen. So Joe, explain your expression and kick us off.
I mean, the movie does have a huge impact on you, both while you're watching it, but particularly at the end. I'd heard that this movie was going to be an NC-17, but I don't think I was ready for it. You know, sometimes less is more, sometimes more is more. And this one certainly falls into that latter camp of more is more. The absurdity of the characters, I thought, was a little bit farcical at times. And the plot didn't hold much in the way of surprises, but what was on screen absolutely did. Everyone was having so much fun, including me.
Okay. I'm presuming you liked it then from that.
Yeah, big thumbs up.
Okay, great. Yazdi.
So this is a stark raving mad film, right? I mean, this movie is so gleefully depraved, so over-the-top hard-boiled. It's like a slap in the face of every other homogenized, studio-vetted, focus group-modified, playing-it-safe movie that is screening in the cinemas right now. Yeah. It is a proud and very lonely member of the extreme cinema genre. I like that this, too, can be, you know, something you watch with your jaw on the floor, your stomach in a knot, with fear, minute by minute, wondering as to what unhinged depravity you might be exposed to in the next minute or so. This film has some balls, let me tell you that.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Okay, excellent. So I was going to say, oh my God, welcome to my favorite film of 2012. I'm so glad I finally met you. I was losing hope and now you've come along. If you haven't guessed it by now, I love this movie. This is the perfect mix of dark, sick, twisted humor with a healthy side of pulpy, senseless violence and uncomfortableness, acted and directed flawlessly. I can't believe this is unanimous love.
Yeah, no, it was very good. I mean, I had a few problems with the movie's plot. I didn't buy any of it. And, you know, I said in my intro that I thought it was a little bit farcical because the characters were so extreme. So it wasn't, for me at least, a plot movie. But everything was made up for, compensated for by the fact that there was no restraint in anything in this movie. Everything was just cranked up beyond the kind of the 10 on the volume scale for the entire movie. And I think that's going to be off-putting to a lot of people. But, you know, if you accept it for what it is, which is a really great, fun piece of cinema, then I think you'll have a blast.
It's not for everyone, for sure. And I'm not even sure it's for me, but I absolutely love its anarchy.
You know what I mean?
It just leaves nothing sacred, and it just keeps going up in the ante further and further, all the way to this, you know, is this really happening finale in the final act? And I think this film is going to offend a lot of people. So make no mistake, this is not the movie you want to see with your aunt, you know, your 80-year-old aunt, or even your prudish, you know, 15-year-old niece. You know, this movie is not for everyone. It's going to offend a lot of people. And who can deny how exploitative it is? I mean, they're really going over the top. But I think if you're offended, you're actually giving the director the reaction he wants. I think he wants to offend. And in many ways, I think the plot is, I don't think it's even meant to be taken literally. It's almost like a noir film in an extreme genre. There was a movie called Wild Things, which came out, God, about 10 years ago, which was the same way. I mean, it was set in the South. It was about these really despicable people. And I think it's just a vehicle for this crazy gonzo over the top human behavior.
Yeah. You mentioned just quickly your 15-year-old niece. This movie is NC-17. Your 15-year-old niece can't get into it. Your 15-year-old niece has no business being near it.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's its NC-17 with pride? And I think, Yazdi, like you said, you will not walk out of the cinema watching this film and not have a reaction, whether you hate it, whether you are scared by it, or whether you just love it. I mean, you will have a reaction. In terms of the story, Joe, I think it's interesting that you brought it up. For me, it really reminded me of Fargo, but I felt that, you know, obviously it's not novel in that sense.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
But I really liked that it was different enough to keep you guessing and engaged all the way. And of course it's not believable. I mean, Matthew McConaughey, he is so good as Killer Joe. And so just for that reason, it's unbelievable. But I mean, for me, the thing that stood out was this amazing cast that's been put together that I think is so perfect in their roles that they're in. I can't say too much about how great this is acted.
Yeah, there are two things I want to say. First about the rating and second about the acting. So I've read a lot of interviews with this director, including the one that Alison Gang, our sometime co-podcaster, she did an interview with William Friedkin, the director, and Rope of Silicon has also done a director with him. And they're both published online. And in both of them, the director kind of complains about the double standards of the ratings board and how this movie has been slapped with an NC-17 rating. And he gives the example.
He's complaining about that?
He is. He's kind of sore about it. And he's, yeah. And so this is exactly my point is I think, and you know, he brings up as an example, David Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which has some very disturbing content. And he's saying, well, how come that movie got an R rating and they slapped an NC-17 on this one? And I think, you know, come on. I mean, if any movie ever deserved an NC-17 rating, it is this one. And like you, Rashmi, I think, you know, they should wear it on their sleeve, wear it as, you know, a badge of pride. And the distributor, you know, has very bravely, instead of releasing the film unrated, which it always has a choice of doing, there are many movies released unrated, they are actually releasing it with a big, giant NC-17 rating. They're saying, this is what the movie is, take it or leave it. And, you know, I think the director should do the same. I mean, he's created something unlike anything we have seen in a long time, and he should be very proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for me, I haven't felt this way about a film since Pulp Fiction. I mean, it's It's so good. I can't stop thinking about it.
You know, I mean, I felt that way in the moment. As soon as I left the theater, I realized it's not as clever or sophisticated as anything that Tarantino has put together. It's as loud and as brash as anything that he, you know, as anywhere Tarantino has gone. The violence and the sexuality in the movie is as strong as, you know, anything that we've seen on screen. But I just didn't feel that it was as clever. And this to me felt like in the writing, it was, you know, it wanted to go for that same kind of feel as the Pulp Fictions of this world, the kind of the shocking visual stuff, but it was nowhere near as clever as something, even as clever as something like Reservoir Dogs in terms of its construction. It was a very basic plot for me, didn't really go anywhere, and I wasn't surprised by the way anything turned out at all, and it was set up that way.
I agree with you, Joe. I think the movie is not as ambitious in its script as, you know, anything that Tarantino does. I think it's just taking this particular device and using it to comment on these depraved, really stupid people.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, also there's the fact that, you know, the script, for me at least, after the halfway point was unpredictable. You know, they all planned this murder. And what happens after the attempted murder for me was all unpredictable. I mean, I knew there was going to, of course, I knew everything was going to come unhinged, but I didn't know how it was going to come unhinged. So it wasn't that much of a given for me in terms of the conclusion of the movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was unpredictable from the halfway point.
Can we talk about performances here? Because McConaughey's getting all the buzz. I think there was at least one other standout performance for me. So, you know,
who's
your favorite?
I would say three. All of them were great.
This is one of those well done movies.
I mean, I think McConaughey absolutely deserves the buzz, because look, it takes a lot to be charming, disgusting, and crazy, and he does it so well. And often he does it without the words. He does it in the way he looks, in the way he uses his eyes and his expression. I mean, I'm going to call it. I think McConaughey may be up for Oscar.
I think we all would like for him to be, but it won't. I mean, this is the kind of movie the Academy hates. You know, this is too edgy for them. They completely shut out Shame last year. I mean, if they shut out Shame, they're going to embrace, you know, this one. I would love to. I'd be thrilled. I think he's earned it. And I think this is McConaughey's year. Incidentally, in that article that Allison wrote, the director mentioned that they approached McConaughey. He was not their first choice. You know, their first choice were the typicals. They were thinking of like
Tommy Lee. I think it was Tommy Lee Jones.
But when they reached out to him, he refused because, you know, he thought the script was too extreme and he had to be talked into it. And I'm glad whoever talked him into doing it did so, because, you know, it's such an exciting turn for him in his career at this point. I mean, he's just doing one terrific movie after another. And, you know, there have been comparisons made to McConaughey's performance here to, you know, Robert Mitchum's menacery, predatory, you know, evil and human skin form in Cape Fear. I mean, that's really a kind of
De Niro.
I think you said
Robert Mitchum.
Yeah, so Robert Mitchum was the original and De Niro was in the remake of the movie.
Oh, gosh.
That's okay, but I think he actually earns comparison in that category. I mean, he blisters the screen with his performance. I mean, there's some parts where you're just...
He does.
Shocked at how committed he is.
He does, but he's not scary. And I think that was one of my few disappointments in the movie, is that I was hoping for kind of, you know, the Anton character in No Country for Old Men, that really intimidating, evil presence on screen. I never felt that with Killer Joe. I felt that he was an intense character, but I never felt that he was a scary presence. So I think maybe it's just my perception of it, but I think that to me was a little bit lacking in this one.
So I'm going to totally disagree with you, Joe, because, you know, the scary character wouldn't have worked his way into the affection of these people. And the reason why this plot works is because this killer is so charming and so nice to be around, yet so sadistic and twisted, that he has to be able to be around that family, and you wouldn't want to be around that person if they were as scary as the person, you know, as the character you just named.
I think it just took too extreme a left turn in the final act. I mean, that was the purpose of the movie, I get that. But that character, I think, really ramped up a notch in that final act in a way that was a little bit unbelievable for me.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Emil Hirsch as Chris. He was so good. I mean, I just can't say enough good things about this movie. And I think also that I know we all want to talk about
Juno Temple.
I mean, you know, I think much as we talked about Chloe Moretz in Kick-Ass with all the guns, people are going to have a reaction to Juno Temple in this movie as well. What surprised me is that Juno Temple is actually a 23-year-old now playing a 12-year-old. And I wouldn't have imagined that, you know, she could pull it off. But I wouldn't necessarily say 12. I think she was more like 14. But
I don't think she's playing a 12-year-old. I think she's playing someone older.
No, there's a line in the film where he says, how old are you? And she says 12.
No. She asks, how old do you feel right now?
Yes.
And she says, I feel 12 because she's
Okay.
Yeah, it's in that character sensibility.
I figured 15, 16.
I got the sense it was somebody obviously under the age of consent.
Yeah.
And how amazing that she's an Australian actor. You know,
British. British.
She's British.
Yeah. Okay.
And she completely nails this East Texan, you know, accent. I mean, I think there isn't a bad egg here. I mean, you can't be in this film and be tentative. I mean, all of these actors just completely commit to it and deliver. I mean, Gina Gershon, Emil Hirsch, Thomas Hayden Church, all of them.
Yeah.
I think Emil Hirsch is a little bit miscast, but he still gives it everything. I think some other actor might have been a little bit better.
All right, look, I think it's obvious that we could go on and on and on about this movie all day, and we haven't got all day, but so let's wind this one up. Yazdi, why don't you start us off with your score?
So I think movies have for a long time lost the ability to surprise and shock us. The Parents Council of America, the political right, the ratings board, and the business dynamics of maximum profitability through a PG-13 rating have pretty much neutered most films. Well, here is a movie that is truly adult and could stand with pride with daring movies which were made in the late 70s. I did not realize how much I missed those films until I saw Killer Joe. I think this movie is going to become a cult classic. In fact, I think it already is a cult classic. It's exploitative, disturbing, but also electrifying and carrying a mean streak of humor. I can talk about this movie forever. I love that somebody is making this kind of a movie right now. I think it's a beauty. Dare I say it? I want to give it a 9 out of 10, but I'll give it 8.
So my score is the same as yours, but I'm going to be a little less complimentary in my sum up. I don't think this is a modern classic. It's certainly going to stick around for a while, but I don't feel that it's going to, you know, form any top 100 movie lists of any kind of caliber. I enjoyed the movie a lot in the moment. I thought it was very clever, but for me, it was all about the visuals and the fact that they didn't pull any punches, have any restraint. They just went for it. You know, plot-wise, I think it was a little simplistic, a little disappointing, dare I say it. But my overall score is 8 out of 10. You know, do be warned, this movie is very strong. So, it's beyond an R rating. I can't say that enough. It's the chicken scene alone is one that I think will be seared into my brain forever and ever. And I'd be aware when you go see this one.
So at times the tension's so high I just couldn't watch, but I couldn't take my eyes off it either. Killer Joe is the perfect trifecta of story, acting, and direction that takes a trailer park thriller with sick humor to new heights. This totally nailed it, shot it, screwed it, and killed it for me. I'm giving this a 10 out of 10. My favorite movie of the year.
Wow.
I love this movie. I'm going to order this and watch it again.
Really?
Joe, yeah.
No, I mean, it was fun.
Absolutely.
I have no problem seeing it.
Brilliant.
Time,
and please let's start the campaign for Matthew McConaughey to be nominated for an Oscar. And I don't even like Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, he's having a great career reboot right now. You know, I think for me it started like, well, you brought this up, Rashmi, with Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah.
That was just a great movie that broke him out of that rom-com mold that we've seen him in for so long. So,
and he was good in Magic Mike. I mean, Magic Mike, I think, as a film, like I said, didn't really hold up. But McConaughey was really good. And this is fantastic.
It was a standout performance.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of content in the movie which just would have been embarrassing, laughable, you know, just career killing. But he's so committed, he just goes there. So good for him. They all go there.
Yeah. And I think they had a riot making it. I couldn't help but see that little smirk in everyone's face. It looked to me like this movie was a blast to make. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be on the set for this. Because after every single take, you must be like, are you serious? You know, like, you speak to the screenwriter, it's like, are we going to go there? You know, you must talk to the director, it's like, are we really going to do this on camera, full front? You know, it's just...
So apparently this director is a one-take director, and apparently the film was made in 22 days.
Yeah.
Which is pretty record timing.
Wow.
Yeah, and unlike you, I don't think, Joe, this was a breeze to make. I don't think this was a fun film to make. Maybe it was fun for the director in terms of what he was demanding from his crew. But I think the crew probably made this movie in a constant state of fear in terms of, am I really going to be doing this? Is this really going to happen? You know, so if I was a cast member in this movie, I would like lose sleep every day, you know.
I think I'd take tranquilizers. Yeah.
So I don't know how much of a fun shoot this might have been. But, you know, I would love to interview Friedkin and just have 100 questions to ask him.
All right, well, let's wrap up for today. Mail at movieworldlaws.com for comments, twitter.com/movieworldlaws, facebook.com/movieworldlaws as well. We have a few shows coming up. We're doing a bit of a catch-up today, so we'll try and get these out back to back to back. But until our next show, too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
Goodbye, not good night.
Oh, that's right, yeah, it is the daytime. I'm so used to saying good night. Goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.